Hey, everybody. Drew Remenda here. You're listening to another podcast from Teal Town, USA. Cannot miss out my guys, AJ and Eric. Stay with them.
Oh, yeah. It is December 13th, 2018. We are in stealth mode, and the Sharks are victorious. 3-2. They take down the Dallas Stars. Welcome to this edition of Teal Town After Dark. I am Eric Corret, alongside Mr. AJ Strong.
What up, what up, what up?
What up? We're both rocking our stealth jerseys. And of course, if you want to be part of the show, join us in the YouTube Super Chat on the page or the app, or just add us on the Twitter machine at Teal Town USA. Of course, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and the YouTube. Also, I should say, special guest, Kayla.
As always. There she is. She's just chilling out, man. She's like, you know what? She's still trying to wake up from, like, the first period.
Oh, boy. I was going to say, I hope you have, like, a cricket sound effect somewhere nearby, because that's how we're going to describe this first period as the...
The first period was hard to believe. I want to believe.
I believe that we will Finn. No? All right.
I don't know.
No. All right. It was one of those nights where that first period was just brutal. The shots on goal, Sharks 5-3. No penalties. There was maybe a push and a shove here and there, I think, between Braun and Jamie Benn, and Radulov. But that was pretty much it for the first period, AJ.
Oh, my God. I was so falling asleep at this point. And I'm being told I need to turn up the mic a little bit. You know, it's very rare that somebody tells me I need to be louder. I'm just
That's
saying.
For damn sure.
Doesn't happen very often. Doesn't happen. Yeah, just before, just over 10 minutes before Dallas got their first shot on goal. Oh my God. Okay. Dude, okay. Now I'm better. Okay. Here we go. So, high level overview, game 33 versus the Stars. This is the third of three meetings. Sharks lost the first two of these by one goal. Jonathan Becker. I'm sorry you lost the bet, bro. The Sharks needed to win this by like three for him to win. And the thing that would have really pissed you off is had the Sharks lost tonight, you would go back and think about the fact that the Stars got an ass whooping last night in Anaheim, just destroyed in the third period. And you would think like, yeah, let's take advantage of a team that is on the road, played last night, got to be tired, and has just an awful road record, especially over the three of their last 11 road games were wins. So it's, this was something that the Sharks, I would have preferred a little more jump. This was Hitchcockian. If I can use a little French, this was very much a Hitchcockian type of game. I felt like this was very late 90s, early 2000s Dallas between San Jose game in the first period, where it was what do they used to call that with the neutral zone trap. Yeah, that's what it felt like. But yeah, that's the way that the first period would shake out. It was a bit of a snoozer. Only 8 shots on goal, 5 for San Jose, 3 for Dallas. Faceoffs were pretty close, 53% for Dallas, 47 for San Jose. So yeah, the first period, not a lot to speak of, people. Just saying.
Yeah, it really wasn't, unfortunately. So moving onward to period number two, things started to get going there. Radek Faksa, and boy, did they...
What did you call me?
You heard me. Radek Faksa, his fifth of the year from Honka and Nikushkin.
He's a Honka Honka burning love.
Oh, jeez. Really?
Oh, come on.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
You've been waiting all night for that.
No, that's just Fox it up. Thank you. Stars get out to a 1-0 lead. I don't blame too much on this one. It's maybe just a bad turnover from
what Burns. The hell are you watching? What are you sharing right now? It's the camera's not on you, dude.
Well, that's what I was trying. You know what I was trying to do? I was trying to show this tweet from Kevin Kurz.
That was bad. Oh, that's a good tweet.
That's why a behind the scenes look at my notes for this game so far. I love that from Kurz. That's what I was trying to get to show you. Sorry about that.
You know what? I understand Kurz catches grief from some people. Everything, it's all subjective. Like I'm not the biggest Hedekin fan. I really enjoyed tonight because it was Baker with Randy. I'm just not a Hedekin guy, but this is stuff that's all subjective. But yeah, I don't care if you like Kurz or not. That's a damn funny tweet.
Right. Oh, geez.
Really good.
Getting back to the second. So Foxa gets on the board 1-0. It was like a crossbar. Then Jones had overplayed it, it seemed like. And then Foxa just buries it in on the open net. Just
for me, it was just that it was a bad clearing attempt from Burns. And it just deflected off one of the Stars. And it goes out in front. And, you know, Foxa, it's puck luck on that one. But, you know, you had to feel a little like kind of anxious when Dallas scores on their fifth shot of the game.
I think Chester Chivo said it on Twitter. Oh, that's probably your game-winning goal right there. And at the rate that this was going, AJ, that's what it was feeling like.
Yeah. I mean, fifth shot of the game, and I think it was like second shot of that period. So it was a little kind of just, really, is this what this is going to come down to? Especially when you take into account that Dallas had won the previous two. But again, I'm going to go back to the idea of Dallas played last night. They've got a crappy road record. This is when Dallas took the lead. It was just kind of like, really? Just really?
Yes, but then the fortunes, easy for me to say. You think I would know from being on Wheel of Fortune. The fortunes of the Sharks would turn around as it was Timo time. Timo buries it. His 17th of the season from Burns and Couture at 16:20. This game is tied up at 1-1. I thought, oh my gosh, what a way for an alarm to go off when you have the Sharks goal horn, man.
Yeah, no kidding. And just fantastic goal. Fantastic goal. And let me, it's like I have it down in my notes. I mean, they win the faceoff. It's a great shot through traffic. Couture gets a faceoff, kicks it over to Burns, finds Timo, wins the faceoff. But a great seeing eye shot that basically almost came from the blue line and very straight on. And probably had to go through about five bodies to get there, but it was fantastic.
Right. And it was beautiful. B-E-A, beautiful. And he seems like he's been scoring like on the rushes and just burying it with pinpoint accuracy, too.
There is not a shot that Timo doesn't like. You know what it is? For me, Timo, and I think I tweeted this out, or I posted it somewhere, damn it. I have a record of this. Timo, to me, is becoming like the perfect marriage between he's like the perfect combo of like Nolan and Marlowe. Like, he's got a toughness to his game that Marlowe never really had, that Nolan clearly does. Mm-hmm. He's got, and both Nolan and Marlowe could find those pinpoint shots, but he's got the speed of Marlowe. Nolan, not quite fleet of foot, but he's just a really good kind of combination of both of those guys.
I completely agree. I think this is what the Sharks fans were hoping for. And you look at that deep draft from 2015, and you look at all the talent that was there. Timo's definitely getting a lot more scoring opportunities and chances. It's crazy to see how their goal scoring pace has been, even though tonight it was just 3-2. But you look at Pavs. He's over 20 goals on the year. I mean, he's chasing Ovechkin, although Ovi got a hat trick last night. you have Timo, who's at 17. Couture just went over the double-digit mark against New Jersey on Tuesday. It's nice to see that it's, you know, the wealth of goal scoring is coming around, and so early too.
Well, not only that, but what had we as Sharks fans been bitching about for quite some time is the fact that the Sharks could not limit other teams scoring goals. They were giving up three. They were giving up four. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they've only given up three goals in their last two, four, six games. Okay. They gave up one to Montreal, one to Carolina, two to Dallas, or I'm sorry. They gave up three to Dallas last Friday. They did give up three to Arizona. Okay. So twice in their last six, only two to New Jersey on Monday and then two tonight. So that is trending in the right way. That's something that we definitely wanted to see be worked on. Before we get into the third, it is that time. We have to take a look at some of the comments on the chat line. And love him or hate him, Kurz is the most polarizing writer since Kawakami. Okay, Sleepy, I was with you until you said Kawakami, because Kawakami for me is known as being the guy who splashed so much ink on the Mercury News page about how the Sharks should trade Marlowe back. And I want to say this was back in like 2010, 2011. I can't remember exactly when it was. I just remember Kawakami going on a diatribe about how the Sharks should trade Marlowe. And what happened? Marlowe went on the next year to have his best season. So it goes to show you how, hey, you want to talk about basketball? Kawakami's your guy. You want to talk about hockey? Kawakami, maybe you go somewhere else before you go to Kawakami. I'm just saying. Fact or fiction, Dell starts against Chicago. Fact. Let's see. I saw something else on here. Rattle pisses everyone off. He pisses off Drew really good.
hey, you know what? Just win the game.
Yeah, just win the game. Just win the game. You know, Ratto is hit and miss with me. You know, some days I think he actually hits the nail on the head. Other days I don't know what the hell he's trying to build with his hammer. I don't dislike Kurz. I really hate some of his takes though. When he says advanced stats don't mean anything, eyes are better. I think there's a place for everything. I think that, you know, advanced stats is one part. Actually seeing it is another part. There was a lot of people that screamed at me when I kept talking about Hurdle needs to be at the wing, and people would go, well, for over this stretch, he's actually put up better numbers as a center. And I go, okay, that's great. I still think I look at him, he's going to be more successful as a winger. That's not me, you know, giving myself a pat on the back. It's just proving the point that it's, you know, there's just more than one aspect to trying to give some sort of analysis as to what's happening. So Timo scores 40 goals this season. I don't think so, but if you'd like to bet that, I will take the under and let's bet some beer. Nice sweater placement. Well, they did score tonight.
Yeah, bud. In fact, let's finish off the summary here. Joe Thornton passes it to the net after a weird carom off of a Justin Braun shot. Shimmick 51, not 61. My bad. Shimmick and Sorensen with the assist at 7:56. That turns out to be your game winning goal.
What, Miro, we didn't even talk about the Meyer goal.
Oh, that's right. At 2:50, it was Timo time times two. Fourth in two games. Couture and Carlson with the assist at 2:50. But
we have to take into account the notes here. After two, faceoffs got better for the Sharks, 49-51. Shots on goal, Dallas had a little bit better, and that has been one of the Achilles heels for the Sharks this season. They've had crappy second periods. That's something that they also need to focus on. 12-10 shots on goal for Dallas. But we have to take into account, just before Timo Meier scored at 2:50, is Randy Hahn and Jamie Baker going, okay, I see Pavs out there with Sorensen and Thornton. And then the one that baked everybody's noodle. Okay, I see Melker, Kane, and Hurdles at center. What? And then you see Meyer with Couture and Donskoy. And then that would be the line that would obviously score. Meyer from Couture and EK65. Fantastic. Let me see. Yep. Yeah. Fantastic shot from Meyer. And then just afterwards, you see Goodrow out there with LeBanc and Radil. And it was just kind of like, oh, why bother?
which I tweeted out, welcome to Jamba Juice. Would you like to try the new Sharks line blendamataz? Not with Teemo time boost.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. So anyway, Joe Thornton at 7:56 of the third. That, man, this was a really weird goal.
Yeah, like I said, Šimek takes a shot. It bounces like a couple of spots, even though I think it might have
bounced like off of two stars and then just ended up on Thornton's stick.
And wide open net.
Yeah. But so, I mean, hey, great dude. How impressed are you with Šimek so far over these last five games?
Oh, he's been dynamite. I mean, like, he's hitting, he's getting shots on goal. I mean, he's played fairly well with Bernsey, of all people. I'm not going to call him Bernsey Whisperer 3.0 yet, but I mean, he's been all around the guy that the Sharks needed on defense.
No, this, I don't know what it is about this kid. I'm loving this kid's game. He's just, you know, he just seems kind of just pissed off. Like, it's one of those things where you don't even want him to learn English because that helps him be pissed off that he can't understand anything. And so he's just going to go out there and kill people to a certain extent. But I mean, the kid is playing great hockey. I am loving this right now. However, this could mean that, you know, if the Sharks, there's been a lot of speculation, whether it's from Kurz or Gackle or just fans at large, saying that one of the things that still need to be tightened up around the Sharks is the fourth line. They need to find the new Eric Fair. Well, Šimek's play is making guys like Heed and Ryan, and dare I say, maybe even somebody like a Braun expendable. I mean, Braun only has one more year left on his deal. That's something that... it's, you know, it's almost, I don't, it's not Carlson EK-esque, but it's that idea of, like, you know, you get 1 year to take on a guy and see if it fits. I'm just saying it could be interesting because, as we all know, Vlasic and Braun, not having their best season, but just back to the point, Šimek killing it. What are you laughing at? What's going on in the
chat? In the chat, Marty T, hey, Šimek, you know, like three words. Walk us through that goal. I shoot, score. Yes.
And let's also take note, too. This is the Sharks' first three-game win streak since the middle of October. Hey, now, scary. Talk about trending up.
And the crazy part about it is if once you hear that, you're like, wow, they must be sucking. No, they're in second place right now in the Pacific.
Well, they must be sucky, but look at this travel. How many games have that, you know, how many times have we gone on road trip and switched time zones three times? And this weird quirk now that I'm looking at the schedule where it's like, you know, you, after playing five games, you come home, play one, then two away, then two at home, then two away, you know, then we get four, then three away. I mean, it's... you know, I don't mind it if you're going to go away for three, four, five games. But this two home, two away, two home, one away, I mean, just stop it. Come on.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous how this schedule and throw in all the back-to-backs for that matter, too.
Yeah, you know? Tons of back-to-backs. Tons of Sunday games for a December, by the way.
Yeah, and it's really weird on how this schedule is going to be playing out. Up until Christmas, you have Sunday in Chicago, Tuesday in Minnesota, Thursday you come home to play Winnipeg, Saturday a 1 p.m. start against L.A., Sunday a 5 p.m. start against the Desert Dogs. Oh, excuse us for a moment.
I'm sorry, what was that?
That was Desert Dogs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. But I mean, that's five games in about a week or so. It just seems weird how this is just set up for it.
It's just been a weird December, man. I don't know. I mean, you got to play the games at some time, and I get that, but gee, like 3 out of 4 Sundays in December and, you know, like right when football starts to really, you know, when the ratings start to get a little higher and everything like that, it's just kind of, okay. let's finish off the third though. Heiskanen would get the teaser goal for Dallas from Ben and Sagan. Kind of a slight screen while the Sharks were maybe got caught on a slightly bad change.
Yeah.
This was the one that I looked at and I kind of went, oh, Jones, you know, and it looked like he didn't see that until it was behind him, but it was still one of those ones where, you know, if it's a bad change, maybe you, I don't know.
You don't give him full blame on that one. I don't think
not full blame, but either way, still, it's that idea of Jones is again trending in the right direction. I think he will. We're on the road. What is it?
Sunday in Chicago, yeah. And Chicago, then Tuesday and then Minnesota.
Yeah, so I wouldn't put it past anybody to. Martin's had a good stretch. Martin Jones had a good stretch, but yeah, I would give Dell another look here against Chicago. Let Jones come into Minnesota nice and rested, and consider the fact that, you know, Chicago is horrible right now. So yeah, give Dell that opportunity. I think he's played well enough for the most part. Yeah, he's had a couple bad games this year. You throw his best game and his worst game out the window, and it helps the bell curve a little bit. And I think he deserves it, and it helps spell Jones.
And here's how we look at it. So Chicago, Minnesota, Winnipeg, LA, Arizona. In that order, I say Dell, Jones, 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 Dell. Before you go to Christmas break.
No. I put Dell against Chicago, Jones, Minnesota, Jones, Winnipeg, Dell versus LA. I mean, LA. Yeah, dude, LA, I get it that you want to put Jones against his old team, but that's 3 years ago. That ship has sailed. Let it go. Let's put Dell in versus the worst team in the Pacific, worst team, you know, almost in the league. Yeah. So, yeah, let him have it. And then, you know, throw Jones in there versus Arizona. And then you get Anaheim. Let Jones play Anaheim. Just tell him it's close enough to L.A. to, like, count. You know?
Wait, is it Anaheim? I thought it was the Desert Dogs.
No, L.A., Arizona, then Anaheim. That's what I'm saying. So let Jones play
after
Arizona.
The break.
Yeah. So there you go.
Gotcha.
That's how I'm looking at it. I like it a lot.
Apparently, I missed the No Fargo accent, puck guy. No, Alex, no. No.
He's but not congrats, allowed to do accents when but, I'm on the show.
But congrats to your Chargers tonight, Alex.
Oh yeah.
Oh, good for you.
I know. Yeah. So
who goes for it instead of just tying it? I'm just saying.
Hey, it worked, right?
Let's dial into the numbers here to finish this off. It did end up finishing 50% in the circle. Sharks, I mean, god damn, are you kidding me? One power play called in this entire game. Are you like, it was like, it felt like the officials were asleep for a while. There was Carlson got away with some stuff in front of Khudobin tonight. But it would finish up 24-22 in favor of the Sharks for shots on goal. So, again, we're talking about a Sharks team that for a hot minute there was averaging like 38, 39 shots on goal, and tonight only 24. Again, Hitchcockian-like defense. So with that, Sharks are out hit 26-22, Stars block 17, Sharks block 10. Giveaways are pretty much negligible, 14-13 for the Stars, and that's the way that part would shake out. When it comes down to the numbers, there's a couple – things that kind of stick out to me like a sore thumb, and that is the fact that Barkley Goodrow did not even hit the 8-minute mark tonight. Lukasz Radil, 633 tonight. That is not a huge vote of confidence, my friends. It wasn't as if the Sharks were playing down for more than 12 minutes in this game.
And for that matter, Kevin LeBanc, just a scotch over 10 minutes tonight. And a lot of people asking, where was, you know, LeBanc in the third period? You know, so.
Well, that's because, again, like I said, you asked where LeBanc was in the third period. That's because Coach PDB had the blender on frappe. Again, like I said, LeBanc got busted down to the fourth line with Goodrow and Radil. So that explains why that was going on. And you're talking, this is a tight game. It's, you know, you have a two-goal lead after 2:50 going into the third. You get that three-goal lead at almost 8 minutes of the third. But then 12:24, you know, the Heiskanen gets that teaser. And right then, you can pretty much staple Goody's, Radil, and LeBanc's ass all to the bench because they're going to want to hold that lead. And how much have we seen it that the Sharks have had problems holding leads this season? So I get what DeBoer was doing up until he put Melker, Kane, and Hurdle together. At that point, I was like, wait, what? But hey, it got the win, so DeBoer can stare at all of us Monday morning quarterbacks going, ha, ha, ha. You know nothing, I know it all. And then, of course, like the next game that they lose and he does something like that, we'll all go, ha, 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 you know. It's just the way it goes, people. Are you getting hungry?
Pizza. Well, we can't play that, really, because they only scored 3.
I just play when I'm hungry. I don't care like how many they score.
You know what I'm hungry for?
Oh, geez, I wonder. Rap, rap, rap,
rap, rap. Oh, I'm hungry for a little wrap around. So let's reach into.
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
It's wrap around, but we'll wrap, 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 wrap it up. All right.
I can do this all day, people.
Let's oh gosh. Let's talk about the scores in the NHL this evening in Buffalo. Sabres 3, Desert Dogs 1. Oh, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Nice. You know who didn't add anybody to the population?
Pominville. Not Pominville. No, but Jeff Skinner got his 22nd on the season for Buffalo.
That turned out good for you.
Former Calder Trophy winner. I'm glad he's finally coming around only 8 years later. Blue Jackets 4, LA 1. Dustin Brown with the only goal for the Kings. Panarin with 2 goals on the night for the Neon Buggers.
Breadman. Hey, how much longer is Quick with the Kings? I feel like at this point, the Kings are like, you know what? Maybe we consider burning this whole thing down and starting over. We're on the hook with Kopitar and Doughty and whatnot. But, you know, Quick, maybe that's a piece we can move going forward because LA has been a little bit of a goalie factory over the last decade. Maybe it's just something you consider. I don't know. I've been drinking, people.
Yeah, I just wish there was the days of Roman Čechmánek have come back.
You're going to pull Čechmánek out of your ass. Okay. Nice job.
And Jonathan Quick is signed through 2023.
And you know what? There's always teams out there that will overpay.
Just ask the Florida Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
In Montreal.
Don't you do it, dude.
I didn't. Petrie scores twice. Gallagher gets his 14th as the Canadians beat the Hurricanes 6-4.
Who was the guy who scored twice for Carolina?
Andrei Shevchenkov. Thank you.
That was better than I thought it was going to be.
And then there's Sebastian, your mom's a-ho, with his ninth on the year.
Now, for the game that everybody watched.
The Detroit-Tonto Bay Maple Bolt scrimmage, because that's what it looks like with their uniforms. Tampa Bay 4, Toronto 1 in the inner squad scrimmage. Kucherov, Sorelli, Killorn, Johnson, they all scored, but it was the dynamite goaltending of Andrei Vasilevskiy on this night for like 47 saves, I think he had on Toronto tonight.
It was ridiculous. And Tampa Bay scored like almost everywhere you could. It was like shorty, power play, even strength. Like the only thing they were missing was empty net and penalty shot. And oh my God, stick taps to Rob Iman in the chat. Jonathan Quick is the Bumgarner of LA.
Ouch.
No, well, you know what? They both do have rings. Of course, Bumgarner has one more.
Yep. In Nashville, the home of Rocket backhander right now.
Jesus Christ. The Canucks with two shorties tonight.
If it two works. Shorties. With John Shorthouse on the call, of course.
And taking Nashville, I mean, best team in the Central, but basically best team in the West to overtime. That's what the Canucks do. You know what? I guarantee you they lose to LA like in 2 weeks or well, the next time they play.
That's just the flow of their season, though.
Dude, the Canucks are so bipolar.
Yeah, 4-3 the final in overtime. Colton Sissons with the winning goal in overtime. Minnesota beats Florida 5-1. Nico Niederreiter with two goals. Zach Parise with his 15th. That matches his total from last year.
Dude, I'm looking at this. I mean, aside from the Jets-Oilers game, it seems like almost every game tonight played had somebody involved that had two goals. I mean, it was like you've heard of three-dog night. This was like two-goal night. It was very odd.
Eli's coming. Hide your heart, girl.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
That's right. In the peg, the Jets were down late, but then Mark Scheifele ties it up halfway through the third. Josh Morrissey gets the overtime winner at 41 seconds of OT to give the Jets the 5-4 win in a come-from-behind fashion. Darnell Yours, Yuri Kyra, Chason and Spooner, your goal scorers for the Edmontonians.
I have two questions now. How the hell does Nurse only have five goals this season? And did what happened to Laine? Like after that, like five goal output, he just kind of went.
No, he's all right. He got his 22nd on the year. I mean, what do you expect him to have five goals in a game all the time?
No, but I'm just saying, like he was.
He's not playing Jake Allen against the Blues all the time.
All right, fine. Fine. Hey, that old bearded guy with the fake knees, he got the game winner tonight.
Oh, yes, Jumbo did get the game winner as the Sharks fake knees. 3-2, the winner there, Jumbo. Yeah, bud, game winner, bud.
For the boys.
Do it for the boys, Eric. Speaking of doing it for the boys, make sure you're voting on the NHL.com fan vote, because do you really want Connor McDavid to lead the Pacific Division? Also, no. Pavelski's been doing wonders. Jumbo with the game winner tonight. Heck, write in Timo if you wanted to. He's on a roll. Four goals in his last two games.
California Cruising, I'm going to take umbrage with you. This is the only beer I've had this whole evening, so I don't know what you're saying about drunk AJ. believe me, my friend, you don't want to experience drunk AJ.
No, I'm no. Alex Martinet, let's all vote in Jones.
Oh, dude, that would be so great. You know, this is something to get into for a hot second is – we all saw what happened with the All-Star game in, what was that? That was 2016, right?
Nashville with John Scott.
Yes. And we all saw what happened. There was the whole idea of the write-in vote. And for those of you who don't know, like maybe a decade or so ago, there was actually a website out there called voteforthewurst.com. It was clearly started by somebody who was fed up with watching stupid competition shows like American Idol or whatever, where they, you know, put out a phone number and say, text this to vote for your favorite person 200 million times and blah, blah, blah. It's all superfluous, fake hype. It's stupid. But the fact that that it ended up working for John Scott, what was the, does anybody remember who won the All-Star game since then? Was there any story that you like can go back to the All-Star games since 2016 and go, oh yeah, this happened in 2016? No, be honest. No, everybody freaking remembers John Scott winning the MVP. You know, Pavs, remember, he wasn't even on a goddamn NHL roster at that point. He was like an Arizona property, and you've got Pavelski and Burns out there saying, don't worry, we'll get you one. Mm-hmm. So the fact that after that happened, Bettman comes out and sits there and goes, well, we're going to make sure something like that doesn't happen. I wonder why you get booed everywhere you go, you penguin-looking son of a gun.
Right. I like the Penguins.
No. I mean, he looks, dude, like he's just the pointy nose away from looking like Danny DeVito in the second Batman movie. Okay. It's just like, oh my God, Bettman, what the hell are you? Yeah. If Bettman was like 5 inches shorter, he would be Danny DeVito in the second Batman. That's what I'm saying. I don't know why you would take that away, because it got people talking about it. It got people watching, up people involved. I hope that the fact that they've switched it this year, where instead of the All-Star game being played on a Sunday, it'll be Saturday in prime time. I hope that juices the ratings and does something for it, mm-hmm. But you have to have that story. You have to have something that kind of brings people in. And right now I don't see that there. The John Scott story was a fantastic story.
But that
was so great.
But that's one of the things about this story, is that it was one of those rare feats. If that happened over and over and over again, I mean, like, remember the time when many were trying to vote in, what was it, Rory Fitzpatrick from the Vancouver Canucks? I mean, that was like a decade before John Scott. And you know how close he got to making the starting lineup? I mean,
well, you have to come up. There just has to be better stories. There, you know, or look at what's going on with Carolina. You know, they're not exactly lighting up the Metropolitan. Currently sixth right now, and they've lost their last two games. They've got a losing record over their last 10. And you know what? People were talking about them just because of their fun celebrations at the end. Yes. What are they going to do this time? That you see stuff like that getting around on Twitter, that it brings some fun into it. And I hope that Bettman doesn't suck the fun out of the All-Star game. Just Bettman, just stay away from it, man. Let somebody else come in who like has a little bit of entertainment involved, and just, you know, you don't have to be hokey. You don't have to be kitschy. It can be something natural and organic, but don't suck the fun out of the building.
In other words, Tomas Hertl, if you're watching, it's time for you to become the next commissioner of the NHL, because fun must be always.
It absolutely.
I completely agree. One thing that went in the chat from Sleepy Mofo: are we surprised that the ASG is 1 month away and yet the Bay Area media has barely covered it? Haha. I'm not surprised. Unfortunately, it sucks that there's nothing. But breaking news. Let's talk about how Steph Curry doesn't believe there was actually a moonwalk. We'll run that on the newscast at 5:15 all freaking night long.
And it was an obvious joke.
Yeah. And what happens? It's like, whoop-de freaking do. You know? I mean, come on. I mean, shoot, even the college football championship game is getting some promotion, mainly because they're in desperate need of volunteers. And speaking of volunteers, at DecoUSA.com/NHL, they still need volunteers for the All-Star game.
I'm sorry, from what company?
At DecoUSA.com/NHL. Shut up, AJ.
Just wanting to make sure. Sorry, I'm busy over here working on a special guest.
Oh, okay.
But you know, I just had to make sure we're on the same page.
Well, can you cue up the CUDA music for a sec? Barracuda are undefeated in the month of December. They are 4-0. They return to the ice Saturday in San Diego. I think Chris mentioned that he was going to go to this game. That's at 7 p.m. in San Diego. You can listen to that on the Sharks app or KDOW. Sunday at 3 p.m., and just an hour before the Sharks game, Ontario Reign take on the Barracuda in Ontario. That's at Sunday at 3 p.m.
So and then back to San Diego.
And then back to San Diego. If you thought the Sharks schedule didn't make any sense, then there's the Barracuda.
Hey, at least there, you know what though? At least it's like, okay, we go down to San Diego, come up to LA, go back down to San Diego. That makes sense. In a Sharks world, that would be like, okay, no, we're going to go to San Diego, then we're going to hop, skip, and a jump over to Arizona, come back and play LA, then play Vegas, and then come home. But we're going to do it all by bus. There will be no airplanes involved.
Remember, what was that, 2 years ago that we had that road trip where they went to Winnipeg, or no, they went to like St. Louis, to Minnesota, to Chicago, to Winnipeg, to Vancouver, then back to Edmonton, then back home.
I remember there was one of the silly, and in fact, if I remember correctly, and this is like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I remember like Randy Hahn even like poking fun at it because it was so ridiculous. I think it was like Colorado to the Rangers to Tampa Bay to Montreal to Carolina to Florida to Dallas to home. I mean, it was one of the silliest road trips ever, and it might be if it isn't one of the longest road trips in NHL history, at least over the last since like the Sharks have been in the division, it has to be in the top freaking three.
That's crazy.
It's just, you would almost expect like Pittsburgh to win the cup every year just based on light travel.
Like, well, they're in the NBC division.
They have to be the most rested team. And so here, my friend, is my quick rant about this. That's something that I do think that the NHL needs to do better at is... Oh, bye, Kayla. Oh, excuse me while I have this tail in my face. Nice tail. this is the thing that does irk me is I do think the NHL should work harder at trying to make it just a little more balanced, not so obviously biased. The fact that, you know, how long did it take for a team in the Pacific Division to win a cup? Like, ridiculously long. And the team from the Pacific Division who won the cup is actually in friggin' Texas. Just saying. So, you know, how long did it take a team in the Pacific time zone to win a cup? You know, quite sometimes. So maybe you work at trying to balance it out. Maybe you send the East Coast teams out to the Pacific later in the season. I mean, how many times did we see, like, whether it was Pittsburgh or the Rangers or somebody like that or Boston, like they'd have, like, oh my God, look at this horrendous travel we have in the month of October. We have to play the three teams in California. And then the three teams in Western Canada, and then boom, they're never out there. You know, they never get into the Pacific Division or the Pacific time zone for the next 5 months.
It was the unbalanced schedule, I think, for years. I think from like 99 to 03, the Leafs did not come out to California. Yeah. And it's like, oh, really? Why do the Leafs get a say in their schedule, for crying out loud? And then they finally balanced it out eventually. But
I want to see what happens once Seattle is in, because now it's one more team. I mean, you've already got it where you're playing, home and away versus every. I mean, there's 16 games for the Eastern team. I'm sorry, 32 games that you're just playing versus the Eastern teams. So now you've got to factor in, okay, how do we disperse the remaining 50?
It should be interesting. One thing that, you know, I talked with Jerk about was maybe this attributes to maybe having an 84 game season. You know,
well, I remember taking a look at it in saying it's like, well, if you play, you know, you play the 32 games against the East, you play three against the Central, and then you have to kind of split the whatever is left with, you know, with your division. But that means you have that unbalance. So there's some years you're going to play, you know, like, was it last year? Like the Sharks played everybody in the Pacific four times with the exception of like Vancouver, who we played five times, you know, and so that's supposed to rotate every season. Well, how does that rotate when you introduced a new team last season? You're going to introduce another team in a couple seasons. So that's going to throw that whole thing out of whack.
Right.
So they definitely need to come up with some sort of balance. I like the idea of trying to make it odd. An odd number. So like tonight with Dallas won the series, but you can say it was a best of three. They won the series.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's something to take from that versus, you know, playing two against the Central. Like I get it with the East, but playing two against the Central, it's kind of, okay, they won one, we won one. Well, what the hell was the point of that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There must be a winner.
Gotcha. We have a special guest by chance?
We'll see if it happens.
Okay.
I know this person's had some issues, some technical issues with Google. I've seen this happen on phones lately for some reason. Not really sure why, but for the 34 of you watching though, and if you're unfamiliar, thank you again for tuning in. This is Teal Town USA After Dark. We go live after every single San Jose Sharks game. We also have a weekly show called The Pucknologist. You can find out everything on tealtownusa.com. Find us on your favorite podcatcher, be it iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, or whatever you might use. And please do us a favor, subscribe to this YouTube channel, maybe hit that notification bell, because again, we go live after every single Sharks game, and sometimes when you least expect it. Just saying. And hey, throw us a thumbs up. If we got 32 people watching, I only got 5 thumbs up. Where are you people at, man? Come on, help a brother out. Just saying.
Please.
So looking forward. I mean, at Chicago, at Minnesota. I'm feeling good about the Chicago game, bro.
I feel pretty good about that. Chicago was like 3-16-2, I think, in their last 21 games.
If I remember correctly, they just put the brakes on an 8-game losing streak.
Oh,
they just cracked double digits for wins. And in fact, I remember talking on the Pucknologist last week that if the Sharks rolled in to Chi-Town and they were still at 9, I was like, well, they're going to hit 10 if the Sharks come in, because that's just the way it works.
and the funny thing is that they doubled up on Pittsburgh to end that streak.
This is, if there was ever a neon sign flashing that says trap game, this would be it. So, I mean, take advantage. Jump on these. See, this is my secret to success versus Chicago. Jump on these guys early, get a 2 or 3 goal lead, and then see what Goodrow, LeBanc, and Melker Carlson are going to do for you on the fourth line, and get Lucas Radil more than 6.5 minutes. Okay.
Right.
Take advantage of that opportunity. And after that, you know, at Minnesota, I mean, at least there's a day between. It's not a back-to-back. And Chicago, Minnesota, relatively close. It's not Chicago and then, you know, Carolina or something. I mean, hey now.
Whoa, you guys are still on?
Hold on. Are you supposed to be here? Did you jump on the wrong cast?
What? I'm at a gas station in Orinda.
All right, and now with us,
Brody, Brazil.
There we go.
Thank you, Dick Callahan.
So
I did a whole post game show.
Uh-huh.
Like, put my stuff away. I'm halfway home, and you guys are still on.
You know, you're one to talk on the Periscope. I'm just saying.
I do an hour at a time. And when I say an hour, I mean like an hour 20.
Yeah.
I never get off when I, you know, when I say I'm going to.
So, what do you think they're going to roll with Dell versus Chicago? I mean, we're talking the worst team just about in the NHL. Is this a good time to get Dell into the net, get him another opportunity, and then that way you've got a nice rested Jones when you've got Minnesota and then especially the Peg coming up?
I mean, you probably have to get him, you know, the right opportunity when you can. And I would think too, on this road trip of, well, just two games, right? It kind of makes sense that on either one of these games that he'll get some time. I mean, Jones has been carrying the load, right? As of late and doing well. And I'd hate to break that up, but I also agree to your point that you don't want Dell to go too stale, you know? Oh, be right back.
Uh-oh. The handle popped on his gas dispenser. He'll be back.
I love how the handle popped and we were able to hear that. Yeah, that's epic.
That was fantastic. So, yeah, that's. I think this is the perfect time to get Dell an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Again, it's the fact that you have a couple of days off. I don't know if they're going to fly out to Chicago tomorrow, if they're going to wait till Saturday. If it's me, I fly out tomorrow. Get acclimated to the time difference. I mean, these guys have certainly spent enough time in as many time zones as you possibly could this month. So, yeah, I would love to see them fly out tomorrow. I don't know if they will or not, but just this is a perfect opportunity to get Dell some work. Again, then you got Minnesota. Minnesota, not killing it, but middle of the pack. Winnipeg, that's the game you got to be set up for. And then, like I said, and then you can throw Dell back out there when you face LA. And I know that the everybody wants to say, oh, Jones, he needs to start versus his former team. It was 3 years ago, man, people. Let it go. Just saying.
Am I still there?
Absolutely.
Nice. It connected to my car. All right, so here's the hard part. I'm going to be audio only. I got to drive this beast. Safety yeah. first.
Safety first. First, absolutely.
Can I just say one last thing while I'm on camera?
Sure. Woo! Oh, you did not. Oh, my God. I can't believe you did. Dude, that was the most Curtis Brown thing you could have ever done.
Oh.
I trolled you guys right there. Or I'm not sure what I did. But, yeah, I think I haven't looked at the schedule, but I would imagine all the flying is going to be done on Saturday.
Yeah. According to the schedule, they practice tomorrow, and then they have an early practice, and then they fly to Chicago on Saturday.
They need as many solid practices at home as they can just bank on. And I'm not saying they need it specifically like right now, but you know, over the course of the season, they keep track of how many times they get to do that. And it's not nearly as many times as teams out east do, you know, because they can be home in their beds at night after a road game. So, I get the acclimation part. And especially, too, like, they've played in every time zone within, like, the last week, I feel like. All four of them, you know. So, it's amazing the heavy lifting that they've done this year on the road. And the schedule is just so wonky. Like,
and all the back-to-backs.
Yeah, there was that six-game homestand, but now it's like two at home, two on the road, one at home, one on the road. Quite honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense this year. It really doesn't. It's not logical.
Yeah. On the chat, Sleepy Mofo saying, waiting for Brody to play play Sandstorm in his car.
I wish I could at the same time, but I don't think the iPhone is that I could, you know, what I do when I'm driving is I talk into my watch, my Apple Watch, and I say, you know, like, hey, Siri, play whatever. And then, so.
I have a feeling that your watch, if you say play whatever, she automatically translates that to Taylor Swift. I'm just saying.
Yes, exactly.
Pretty much. It knows me.
or you know what it does? Or it just starts playing the, the instrumental, the vocalist EDM stuff, the background music for your Periscopes.
I feel like I'm a one trick pony. My established, aren't I?
Hold on, you broke up a little bit. What was that?
I just said my preferences are pretty established, like EDM, Taylor Swift. That's about it.
Oh, yeah. If you ever broke out AC/DC, people would fall over.
And I'm not, you know what? I finally had to make a comment about the wooing tonight, even though I didn't really say much about it, but I just don't get it. There's so many better things to do with your energy.
Like cheer? Like say, let's go Sharks?
Well, or even like if it were crafty, right? Like, you know, the other one that is on my radar, but it's such a long-standing thing is, you know, picking somebody out and saying, you suck, right before the national anthem. I mean, it's like, it's confusing to outsiders. It's not necessarily the classiest thing to represent an otherwise classy, you know, fan base and franchise.
Yeah, but you understand the backstory to that whole thing, right?
Well, I've heard a couple. So, like, you tell me what...
Eric?
I'll trust your version. Basically, it started in Section 209 by Greg Ray. It was originally wasn't at the beginning of the anthem. It was during the game. It was like it was, hey, Belfour, you suck. Hey, Dallas, you suck. Hey, Dallas fans, you really suck. And I don't know when it started, when it went to the anthem, and I think it was just somebody just taking advantage of how the arena was like the quietest it'll be. And they just took it on from there. And I remember, was it game 6 of the Cup final? And the lead singer from Train like look around like, why are they telling me you suck? You know? So it's,
yeah. Well, if you don't know, we can't explain it to you. I'm kidding.
I just think, I don't know if you guys agree or not, but I just feel like, I say we, anybody who supports the Sharks, we can all do better than that. You know, like
I get the you suck thing because it's a tradition. The guy who started it, I mean, he was a guy who like literally sat in the back row of 209. He brought duck calls and with the whack, whack, duck sucks. Yeah. That guy started that whole thing.
It's the timing of it. It's not the content. It's just the timing of it.
Right.
You know, yeah. Imagine, you know, somebody who had a relative die in 9/11 or something, or somebody who takes, you know, a lot of sentiment in the national anthem, and then there's that kind of like, you know, and some anthem singers, like I know they train the anthem singers to wait until that's over.
Yep.
But I heard it get stepped on one time, and I'm like, oh, that's just so awkward. You know,
right.
That I'll give you. Maybe it's something that the Sharks need to, you know, think about, that maybe they figure they work with Danny Miller to try to, I don't know, you know, jigger the introductions just a little bit to offer that kind of dead space for a moment. Like maybe after Danny announces the scratches or something, or the starting lineup, something like that.
You know, I just think I know what you guys are saying. They're taking advantage of the silent opportunity, but I don't know. It's kind of a moment to get into a mood and be
a little bit
more civil. It's not the timing of it, you know?
So. Yeah. No, I get that. You know, when I think they used to do that, if I remember correctly, didn't they used to kind of do that like right around the time that they would do the ceremonial puck drop? But then what ended up happening is that they added the whole DJ thing, who would start playing the hype music in the background, and it would drown out those people. I think if they left like a little bit of space after the ceremonial puck drop, maybe you have that. I don't know. There's definitely a way to work it in and have it be less disrespectful.
I completely agree, AJ.
Yeah. I mean, we're not talking about the level of disrespect that Curtis Brown shows Brody. We're just...
No, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean...
Is he still with us? Bro dog.
Am I not there?
Oh, okay.
You are.
Now you're back.
Oh, sorry. No, it's one of those things, too. And it's not even like Shark fans understand it. I'm saying, you know, somebody from another city across the NHL who's like... These fans are yelling like at the beginning of the anthem. And I know the anthem is more controversial than ever right now. I'm not even saying I'm just saying out of respect of, like, procedure, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
It's just weird. Anyway, so.
Well, you know what? Let's
I don't get the wooing. I don't get a couple things, but whatever. That's
the whole thing, my friend. Let's focus on eliminating the woo. Then we'll get to the you suck thing.
One at a time.
Yeah, one at a time, man. Because from what I understand, that all started a couple seasons ago when the Sharks did a promotion with College Rush with San Jose State. And if I remember correctly, that game was like a blowout. It was like 5-0 after two periods. And so fans were just kind of bored in the third period. And it was a game that didn't draw that great. Thus the fact that college students were allowed to come in for like $10 a seat. They got a ridiculous discount and college students and alcohol, what could possibly go wrong?
So what you're saying is that San Jose State is responsible for two things. Number one, the wooing
and Brody Brazil.
And number two, the idiot who hosts the postgame show.
Brody, Brazil.
Hey, don't forget.
They owe an apology.
They're not all wrong. They did have awesome hockey jerseys for a few years, and then they wanted to look like the football team.
He just had to sneak that in, didn't he?
Nice drop. Oh, no, wait. They call it a flex. Nice flex.
Oh, thank you.
The kids call it a flex now. They're like, oh, nice flex.
A couple of people did ask in the chat, you were supposed to be live at the tank tonight. The studio looked a little, warmer.
No, I don't actually know that it had to do with that. It was on our schedule for months. And then last night I got a text, said you guys are in the studio tomorrow and I never found out why. So,
hey,
said, let me get it straight. Go to the studio, not the rink. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. At least you got at least you got plenty of advanced warning and you weren't stuck on 880 or something.
That could get messy. No, so I don't have an answer, but you're right. They changed the plans on us a little bit.
You know what though, that does beg the question. Have you ever been late for a broadcast where you're like showing up with like 5 minutes to spare?
I always show up 5 minutes. that's early. So here's
I'm trying to spend as little time with Curtis as possible.
Tonight I had some, I get changed with about 15 minutes before the show. And instead tonight I was talking to Kyle, I got distracted. So it was 10 minutes before the show. So at about, I left my bag with my earpiece in the car because I brought it with me because I thought we were doing the show, you know, at SAP tonight. Anyway, long story short, so I have to borrow an earpiece from the audio folks. I plugged the first one in. It doesn't work. So we're like 30 seconds away from being on TV and I can't hear the producer, the director, anybody. So I eventually get plugged in with like less than 20 seconds before the show started. So
how was the volume?
No, it was fine. No, everything worked, but that's not normal. But I would say realistically, I typically change with about 15 minutes to go. I walk in with about 5 minutes to go. And even that's like a lot, you know, I mean, it's just, so it's between 3 and 5 minutes before the show starts. So, and it's not to like make, it's not to be late on purpose. It's just kind of the routine. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I believe you me. I've been a DJ for forever. And typically it's like when I have to start playing, you know, I mean, I show up with my laptop and I know how long it takes to jack my laptop in, check the settings, check the levels, switch all the TVs over to my video mix. And, you know, I can be set and ret to go within about 12 minutes and show when I know that I'm playing at 9:30, I show up at 9:15.
Yeah. The real thing is like a lot of times I'm tweeting up to the last minute. I'm trying to put a video out and obviously, you know, every pregame show starts at a certain time, every postgame show, you know, you don't know the exact minute of when you'll be on. Game obviously dictates that, but Yeah, it's, you know, it just, however many shows I've ever done, I can definitely say I've never been late. I have cut it uncomfortably close a few times, or, you know, technology has made it uncomfortable for me, but have never not been there where the show had to be delayed or something like that, you know.
And is that for both the Sharks and the Athletics?
That's any show I've ever done.
He's like high school sports focus, same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely into the multiple thousands of shows, but I don't know. I mean, it's never happened. I will say it has happened a few times where, like, the switcher, the video switcher, like, might crash or whatever. And so we tell our master control that instead of starting at, like, 7:00, we're going to need a minute. So we're going to start at 7:01, you know, or whatever. But that's not on – that's a technical thing. It's never been because of me, certainly.
There was never a nightmare story or anything that you can possibly share with us?
Well, and let's be honest, he'd blame it on Curtis anyway.
That's true.
nightmare stories. I would say there's been a couple times where, like, we're trying to toss to an interview and they know, okay, we've got it ready. All right, here's this reaction right now or whatever. We roll the tape and it stops or it freezes and they come back to us and, you know, you want to try it again. The producer say, okay, it's ready. All right, let's try it again. It doesn't work. I feel like those are the worst where, but really I feel like that stuff would bother me more in younger years. I guess I realize now how to just laugh it off or, you know, not to be so serious, or I know how to explain it. Just say, hey, clearly we're having some issues right now. Some of you can relate to this.
Very much so.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, we're talking to a guy who, what, I mean, drilled a camera with a wiffle ball. Right?
Me? Yeah. I had a comeback this year.
You know, what, they came back to you and both you and Curtis were like mid-bite of pizza.
Yeah, I had a desk fall down in the middle of a post-game show, like the desk we were sitting behind.
Oh, yes.
I'm feeling like that probably was not staged. Not staged.
Oh, definitely was not. That was very rude. You know, it's funny, though. People would look at me and they're like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry that happened. Or were you embarrassed? I'm like, are you kidding me? That was like the TV gods shining down on me and being like, here's a special blooper moment that we only chose to give to you, you know? So,
hello, Brody. This is the viral gods. We are smiling upon you.
This is Philo Farnsworth himself. The creator yes. of the modern.
See,
the smelling salts,
well,
of course.
You know, oh, the smelling salts is a great one.
I mean, no, I can't really.
Did we lose him again for a hot second? Oh, hold on.
The bats, am I there?
Okay, now you're back. You were, it was a little bit like, I thought you brought like your home console with you. It was very kind of robot voice for a hot second.
that stuff only haunts you, or it's only, a horror story if it haunts you. And quite honestly, the bloopers now, I kind of can't wait for them to happen. You know, I'm like, all right, here we go.
Brody's like, damn it, I need more content for my YouTube channel.
Yeah. Well, it's like, how can we turn this ultimately crappy moment into something that, you know, AJ and Eric will talk about for years down the road? You know, so
that's all I'm, I mean, that's all you can ask for,
right?
Let's be honest.
For us to bring it back, and then we'll be like, Brody, if you're watching, we remember that special night in 2018 where you put your phone number on the screen.
All right. Who's the three guys that you're actually sending to the All-Star game?
My three?
Yep.
I'm probably going to well, if it's up to me, if I'm just going on personal selfishness here, choice and everything, I go Jumbo. I go Pavelski, and probably Brent Burns.
Well, I'm sorry. The owner of LoganCoutureFanClub.com is not voting for Logan.
Hang on. Let me let me shut the phone off and explain this. Hang on a second.
That's right. He's pulling off. He's pulling off.
He doesn't have JoeThorntonFanClub.com. He doesn't have BrettBurnsFanClub.com.
The light is coming on.
All right. You can still hear me, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, if you look at, like, Timo, or if you look at Logan, I mean, Logan's already been there once. Poor guy got picked last, got a car out of it. But, I mean, like, those guys, it's not like this is their last opportunity. And I am kind of selfishly putting Jumbo in, you know, in the get their first category because it's just the opportunity, right? Home ice gets celebrated in front of a national audience. He got shafted on the 100 list.
Yeah.
And I think like Pavelski, you know, the year he's having, and look at, I mean, Logan led the team in goals last year. And I do feel like the second half of last year should count for something, but it stinks that you have to narrow it down like that. But that's the three I would go with. However, I do have to tell you, there's some speculation from the Joe Thornton camp that, and you guys saw he was potentially going to be a scratch tonight, or, you know, he's going to be injured tonight.
Tonight and versus New Jersey.
Oh, I mean, that it was questionable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there is some speculation that maybe the rest in January would be more beneficial than him doing stuff for a couple days. And so I don't know that Jumbo is like super interested in it,
you know,
participating. But I'm selfishly interested in seeing it, you know?
You know what would be the coolest moment ever? And if this happens, I want credit for it. How
Jumbo
cool...
Jumbo and Patty taking the draw?
No. Although that would be great. I mean, you talk about the place losing their mind. Okay, now, first off, if Owen Nolan does not drop the ceremonial puck, somebody screwed up somewhere.
Thank you.
But...
And point to it.
Yeah, but how cool would it be... If Joe Thornton doesn't play in the actual All-Star game, but puts on the Sharky costume and plays in the mascot game, and at the end takes the head off, that would be hysterical.
What kind of drugs are you doing?
That would be hysterical.
That's a hallucinogen. Is that what you're on?
Oh my god, that would be so funny. You're just you and Sharky have a thing.
Caught a whiff of Sharky's head. Like, you think Jumbo's gonna put his Hall of Fame head in Sharky's mask?
Well, that's true. By the time that the All-Star game rolls around, he could be back down to full Santa by that point.
Yeah, right. His beard might be on full comeback.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas, I gotta grab a little midnight snack.
You got it, buddy. Thanks for joining. And hope we got you home okay.
Safe and sound.
Excellent. Thanks, awesome. Brody, as always.
We'll see you on Sunday for Chicago. And ladies and gentlemen, that was
Brody. Brazil.
Jonah, you don't see that, you don't see a random join from the pre-post game guy. You don't see that on other podcasts. Just saying.
Second base, number six,
Brody. Brazil.
That's my impression. It's like slight voice of God and Dick Callahan. So
absolutely. So yeah, when your podcast gets Brody Brazil on, then you can call me. I'm just saying, getting him while he's driving home, that's just the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So with that, lady, and I'm so happy. Holy shnikes. I just looked over and 18 thumbs up, but 38 are watching. Where are my other 20 thumbs up? Oh, okay. No, I see one person gave us a thumbs down.
That was Jessica.
No, see, I thought that was Brody, to be honest with you. Right. I think we're done here. Thank you so much, Brody, for jumping on for the ride home. And we will see you all after the game versus Chicago. Who's playing the evening football game that day?
Oh, gosh.
The NFL schedule in front of you by any chance? I don't know. I know that tonight was a weird one between the Chiefs and the Chargers, but
that was a great game, actually.
Oh, my. Dude, Felix, you have no idea what you're talking about.
It's Philly at the Rams.
Ooh. Good luck, Kevin, and your Philadelphia team. That's all I'm saying. Good luck, Kersey.
And they need that one badly to stay in the playoff race.
Oh yeah, because Dallas is coming on. That a lot of that. Well, I think this is a discussion for after dark. We got to get out of here. So again, thank you all so much for watching. We will catch you after Chicago versus Sharks in the big Chi Town. Get yourself the big thick fake pizza. Remember, that's just a bread bowl holding marinara soup. It's not a real pizza.
Oh, jeez.
You know, I want to know if I pass out in my pizza that I'm not going to drown. That's all I'm saying.
Apologize to all of our Chicago fans who love the deep dish.
If I'm going to eat a pizza, I don't want to throw a coin in it and make a wish, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
So,
all right.
That's it. Get us out.
All right. Well, thank you for watching. Of course, hit that subscribe button down below. Hit that bell one. Make sure that will tell you when we come on next time or what? We drop like a special Easter egg.
What? Hit the bell. There it is.
Okay. That's close, I guess. Oh, no, not that again. We'll be back with you.
I'm talking about
pizza. Yeah,
exactly.
So check us out on TealTownUSA.com. Felix has got some stuff on there as well. You got another one down. Way to go.
Another thumbs down.
That's what happens when you do the beep. It's like the woo of the Sharks.
You're not cool, man. I mean, if you're going to give me a thumbs down, at least like have the balls to put it in the chat and say, you know what? I'm giving you a thumbs down because this. Like,
no, don't.
I'm just... Anyways,
your final thoughts on where the people can find you, AJ.
I am AJ_Strong on both Twitter and Instagram. Also throwing up some grams for Teal Town USA. So go ahead and follow all of those because they're all fantastic. My final thought, stay out of the box and let's go Sharks.
All righty. I'm PuckGuy14 on the Twitter and Instagram. We'll be back with you Sunday night following Sharks and Hawks. Until then, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal. Have a good night, everyone.